comic books, movies, TV, and more. Nerds are everywhere. It's time to assemble! It's Nerds United, a Jittery Monkey podcast. Here's your host, Greg Mahochko.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Episode 31, Nerds United, a Jittery Monkey podcast. Greg Mahochko broadcasting, recording this Wednesday evening, about 20 minutes after the completion, at least in my region, of the midseason finale of Arrow. And let me just say, holy crap. Before I get going into too much detail on that, wanted to speak real quick on a couple of other notes. For starters, Jittery Monkey Podcast Network has grown. As we, if you haven't been following along, maybe Nerds United is the only podcast you're listening to, and I'm flattered. Really, I am. But we have grown. We've added a few shows here in the last few months, and we've seen the rebirth, if you will, of some other shows. Gamer, Matt Horse is putting out Gamer. I conned him into recording an episode here a few weeks back, and I put the bug in his ear. I said, you know, it'd be great. What if we got like a, you know, classic, you know, vintage, if you will, video game podcast where, you know, count down some of your favorite, you know, games from consoles of yesteryear. So maybe that one will see fruition. Of course, Matt and Sierra Horst and Zach have been doing Popped Culture and keeping you up to date on some quick hits around, you know, pop culture. So there's that. And A Seat Above the Stands, Toby and Craig have been talking local for our area, because we're all from the South Central region, so local sports, but also national sports as well, so that's been getting some focus, and so they've got a couple episodes on the network as well on the iTunes feed, if you're so inclined, and then just this week, in fact, just Tuesday was the release, the publishing of the first episode of My 1-2-3 Cents with Kevin Huntsberger. You can even go to my123cents.com and see just the year's worth of work that he's put into that brand. And we finally said, hey, you know what? We've got a niche, I think. We've got the marketed demographic, if you will, for a pro wrestling podcast. I reached out to him just a few weeks back. I didn't even know that he had a goal to have a pro wrestling podcast by the end of 2014. So a few weeks to spare, but happy to have Kevin aboard and on the Jittery Monkey Network family. So great to have him on there. And you can check out his stuff. He's even got a Facebook page, My123Cents, Twitter as well. Toby has A Seat Above the Stands on Facebook. And so we're just rocking and rolling as best we possibly can. And so it's always great. I like that if every show updates, you know, once a month, twice a month maybe, you know, that's six solid shows here on the network that are getting continually updated. So lots of good things happening on the Jittery Monkey podcast network. Joe Dodd, of course, cranking out some awesome, epic artwork. So check out the Jittery Monkey podcast Facebook page if you want to see all of his great efforts. And we'll just keep providing what we hope, what we believe anyway, is quality content for you to download. Click that subscribe button, whatever you've got to do. Now, we are we're 2 weeks away from Christmas. So before Christmas, of course, we'll have the very special Christmas special, second annual. Last year's, I went back and saw that it wasn't very special. So hopefully this year, the second annual very special Christmas special is just a bit more special. But before that, wanted to take just a quick hit. And I really have no notes, no preparation whatsoever, except for what's in my stored memory banks, which I gotta tell you, Not as much as I would hope, but a quick hit just to talk about some of these great TV shows that I've been watching. And let's start right there with Arrow. The mid-season finale of the third season saw, spoiler alert, probably from here on out for the rest of this episode. So if you haven't seen Arrow or The Flash or Gotham or Constantine, be another one that I've been watching, Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., spoiler alert, take that with a grain of salt, and we'll go from there. You might want to just stop, hit pause, hit stop right now, get caught up on your DVR, and if you don't watch these shows, I'm sorry. This is what we're talking about this time around. I might touch on a few comics, but Arrow, holy cow, the mid-season finale of Arrow Season 3, did not see that coming. I had a feeling before they showed, and again, spoilers, but we're past that now. Again, spoilers from here on out. I had a feeling that when Malcolm Merlyn showed the smartphone, showed that video to Oliver, that it was going to show what it did. Thea, as the culprit, if you will, who fired the arrows into the torso of Sarah, a.k.a. Canary. And, well, hey, I gave you all kinds of spoiler warnings. I don't want to hear any crap. But that was all the way back from, I believe, the, if not the season premiere, possibly even the season finale of season two. So we've known there have been a lot of speculation. Was it Roy? You know, who could have done this? For a while there, honestly, I thought it was the Cupid character from a couple seasons back. But then that one ended up not being necessarily the case. But come to find out, it was Thea. Yeah, and she was under a mind-altering substance, mind-control substance, if you will. A little, not I want to say performance enhancing, but perhaps a hallucinogenic, whatever, allowed her to be a bit more susceptible, lowered her inhibitions, if you will, for Daddy Dearest, which sounds really creepy when you put it that way. So Oliver, doing the noble thing, says, well, she's my sister, and I'm not going to let anything bad happen to her. So he bites the proverbial bullet and says, I will face the League of Assassins leader, who is, it's weird because in the Batman universe, you know, League of Shadows, especially going back to Batman Begins, and then now it's the League of Assassins, but I digress. Ra's or Ra's al Ghul, depending on who's pronouncing it. And so he goes to battle him on the mountain, and again, I'm even going to step back and say, I'm not going to spoil this one, but I didn't see it coming. So, where does that lead us going forward? I don't know. They haven't, you know, the showrunner hasn't sent me the normal weekly email update. Not that I'm on that list anyway. But there's a lot of questions to be answered. One thing we know going out the door is that Oliver Queen said two things to Felicity Smoke. And one is he'll do whatever it takes to protect his family, protect Thea, which is why he's sacrificing himself, or at least challenging Ra's al Ghul himself. And two, that he loves Felicity. And Felicity's been kind of a obviously fan favorite, very much so in the last, I think, season and a half since she became really a regular. The actress who plays Felicity has done a great job, I think, of interacting with the fans. You can check out some of those, you know, fan interaction videos. Probably, if not on YouTube, maybe try her Twitter feed. And I'd tell you what that is, but I don't know it off the top of my head. So great interaction there. Fan favorite, as I said. So I'm sure that everybody swooned when Oliver told Felicity that he loved her, and it was wonderful. We also got to see a better rendering of the Adam suit, which is funny that Ray Palmer, a.k.a. Brandon Routh, the actor, dropped in the OMAC, if you read the comics, you're a bit familiar with the OMAC project. But he says, like, I prefer to call it the Atom, A-T-O-M. So we'll see the Atom perhaps in the spring or, you know, down the road. So I'm a big fan of the decision to bring in more characters, just like what they did a year ago. I mean, this led to an entire show, and that was bringing in Grant Gustin as the Barry Allen, who was just helping out on the case. That leads to, and I'm sure this was always in the plans, but that leads to the Flash, you know, getting his own show, which has taken off. It debuted to record numbers for the network, for the CW, when it premiered a few months ago, and the mid-season finale there, the Man in the Yellow Suit, the Reverse Flash, we finally, I think, are finally getting some answers. But more important, we're fleshing out the characters, the relationship between Barry Allen and Iris West. And he finally said, yeah, you know, I've loved you since before, you know, I knew what love was. And, of course, he didn't sound like this because Grant Gustin doesn't sound like this. But a tremendous show. And I was really impressed with the scene in that episode between Flash, Barry Allen, and his father, who, coincidentally enough, many of you probably know this, played the Flash in the 1990-91 series on, I think it was the old Sci-Fi Channel, played the Flash back in that, so kind of bringing it full circle a little bit, and we'll touch a bit more on the network's decisions to play a little bit around more with that old series here in a minute, but kudos to the writers, kudos to the performers, the directors, everybody for that scene. It really brought out the hope aspect of the character of Barry Allen, more so, I think, than the Flash. But if you go back to the Blackest Night series, and I've talked about Blackest Night quite a bit on this show because it was the event that kind of got me back into comics. But at the end of Blackest Night, in order to overcome the Black Lanterns, the rest of the color spectrum all kind of had to be adopted out. You had Scarecrow becoming an avatar of fear, and you had Lex Luthor becoming an avatar of avarice or greed. Same for Wonder Woman, who took over what became a Star Sapphire, and for love. And you had Barry Allen, the Flash, a symbol of hope. And that's very evident, I think, in that episode or in that scene from the mid-season finale between Barry and his father, even though they're discussing things through the prison, you know, glass or whatever, and his father says, you know what, this man in the yellow suit, whoever he is, he's taken enough from us, don't let him take anything else. And so very, very poignant words, I think, and really rang true to who Barry Allen is as a character, as he was conceptualized, and I think how he needs to be going forward in the show. And that's, you know, so many heroes have a tragic background, a tragic history, tragic origin. Batman, Barry Allen, Arrow, you know, Green Arrow, depending on what incarnation you're looking for, Superman even to an extent. You got to be able to look past that and not dwell on it. And I think that's kind of the point of that scene between Barry and his father, Grant Gustin, and the actor who plays the dad, whose name escapes me currently. Again, I'm winging it here, folks. I don't have any notes in front of me. Shame on me, I know. But so just keeping hopeful, you know, not letting this little bit of tragedy, however, you know, the amount that it might have been, don't, you know, rise above that, and don't let it define you, kind of like Batman does. So no offense to all you Batman lovers out there. So I was really impressed with the Flash, and have been throughout the first, you know, half of the first season. The twist at the end, the big question really all season long is, who is Harrison Wells? Who is this doctor, this, you know, supposed mentor for the Flash from the Star Labs there, and you don't really ever find out. There were some theories going around within the last couple of weeks, especially his ability to get up and walk out of his wheelchair, which we learn in the pilot, but you don't ever kind of get an idea. Metron, one of the new gods from the comics, was considered. I'm not even sure that what we saw in the last clip there before it goes on break until January 20th really gives us a clear idea. But you do see again Harrison Wells or Tom Cavanaugh, the actor, stand up, get out of his wheelchair, and he has that yellow suit, that reverse Flash suit, and he puts a contraption on it, and I don't really know exactly what that contraption does. So I'm very curious to see what, you know, where they go with that, because the books, the reverse Flash is from the future, and by the name of Eobard Thawne. I might not be pronouncing the first name right, which kind of perked my ears up a little bit for a possible Easter egg in the pilot when they first introduced Eddie Thawne, who is, of course, in this universe, Iris West's boyfriend slash soon-to-be roommate and living buddy, cohabitor, if you will. So I still think the possibility is there that they can stay true to the comics and introduce the Reverse Flash as perhaps a descendant of Eddie Thawne from the future, who says, "Man, you ruined great-great-great-great-great-great-granddad's life and stole his lady, and I'm coming to get you, Flash." I don't know. I don't know exactly how that conversation would go. And obviously, based on simplicity of how I laid out that dialogue, you know that they're not asking me to write that episode. But so yeah, very impressed with the Flash, and really have been. I see that it appears in the second half of the first season the Rogues are really going to come together. We've already seen Captain Cold and Captain Boomerang, which is funny that they're two captains. I think one of them would maybe be a major or a sergeant. No? Joke's not working for you? Fine. Firefly, I believe, is another one. Flash has a really solid rogues gallery, and I'm impressed with the fact that they're, you know, diving into that well so much here in the first season. We've also seen Weather Master, I believe, the Weatherman, whoever you know, it might be. We've seen quite a few of the Flash's rogues here in the first a couple of months. That's pretty exciting to see the metahumans. We've also seen Firestorm, which is impressive. Robbie Amell, the cousin of Stephen Amell, who plays on Arrow, and Robbie was on, it's not the 100s. I think it's the Tomorrow People, which was a failed CW show, but apparently they liked him enough to make him Firestorm. Ronnie Raymond, and a bit of a love interest with one of the female characters on the show from, you know, before the accident that created the Flash. So Firestorm has been picking up traction here in the last couple of episodes and came to the rescue in the mid-season finale. So that's awesome. I like the idea of Ronnie Raymond, a.k.a. Firestorm, and being involved in the series and more of the DCU. Speaking of the DCU, and we'll jump to... Let's see, where are we going here? Let's jump to what I heard. I came across this information earlier in the week, and that is that TNT is going to be making a show based on the Teen Titans called, ironically enough, Titans. And they have announced that the character Nightwing will be on the show, probably maybe with a Red Robin and some other of the Teen Titans that have you know, come to... Be familiar with from a fan standpoint. So that'll be interesting to see how they're tackled on a cable network. I think you can probably still get away with a few things on cable that you can't on network television. But Constantine's doing some good things on NBC Friday nights, and I think that's one that they're really hoping catches on here, catches a little bit more of a surge, and keeps it around. I personally, I'm enjoying the heck out of Constantine, and Matt Ryan is the actor's name, and I think it's, no offense to Keanu Reeves, of course, at least none more than usual, if you will. But this is, I think, a bit more true to the character. He's, you listen to him, you watch the show, and you're like, man, that's John Constantine. That's the Hellblazer that I, you know, think of when I think of the comics. So very cool from there. And I know it's a minor thing, and censors probably don't like it, the network censors, but I like the fact that in the last few episodes you've seen him smoking. Constantine, it's a big part of his character is that he was riddled with cancer from a lifetime of smoking. So the fact that they have introduced that aspect back into the character after kind of cutting it, editing it out of the first couple of weeks was it was kind of nice to just to see, you know what, we appreciate your input, censors, but we're going to stay true to the books, true to the nature of the character, and take that approach with it. So good things from Constantine. Really, if you're not watching that, I highly recommend it. I don't think you're going to be disappointed. It's a little bit supernatural from, you know, the Supernatural, the TV show, of course, on CW in its 10th season. But it's, you know, it's DC Comics. And if you look at what DC Comics is doing on television, Marvel might be winning the cinematic universe war. But as far as television, I don't think Marvel can touch what DC is doing. Look at, again, Arrow. You can jump back a few years to Smallville. But Arrow right now, The Flash, Constantine, Gotham, which had its mid-season finale a week and a half ago, and was, you know, it's a little less, I don't want to say less impressive, because I'm enjoying the heck out of Gotham, but no real superheroes right now. It's more or less, in my opinion, I don't know, Law and Order, kind of, a little bit of a, not quite CSI, but, you know, that a little bit more down to earth, you know, a bit more realistic storytelling. But I like where they've gone with the characters on that show, from, you know, Jim Gordon, obviously, Bruce Wayne, the Cat Girl, Catwoman, whoever, Selina Kyle. So some things happening there that are going to be key to watch, especially as you look at, you know, Barbara Gordon. Not quite Barbara Gordon yet, but she leaves a note for Detective or Lieutenant Jim Gordon, saying I'm leaving town until things kind of calm down, and then you see, you know, in the next clip or whatever, after the commercial or before it, you know, she's in snuggle time, if you will, with Detective Montoya. So there's a little bit of betrayal there. Interesting to see how that one will play out when it comes back after the holiday break. And so that leaves us to Marvel, and I will be the first to say that I had been a little bit underwhelmed by Marvel here up until the last few episodes. The mid-season finale, where they are in San Juan and ready to make the approach, if you will, to the Kree alien city. Kree, which of course Kree and Skrull Kree War from the comics. So the fact that they're introducing that alien race. Now, I was told, or not personally, but you see some reports, some posts online, that the mid-season finale of Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Is actually the beginning of Phase 3 of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Now, I'm about two-thirds, three-quarters of the way through the episode. I haven't quite finished it yet. So as soon as I am able to finish that episode, then we'll have some, I guess, more complete answers for you. But I do like the tying in, if you will, of the Marvel Cinematic Universe as well as their, you know, small-screen television universe. And it all, I think, really starts with the popularity of Agent Coulson from, you know, the Thor movie and Iron Man movies, and of course the Avengers, and keeping him around, trying to find a home for him. Clark Gregg, tremendous actor, and Phil Coulson, wildly popular. So, like what I'm seeing from there. I have to finish that episode, but it seems like it's back on the upswing. What we get between the mid-season finale and the restart in the spring is we get Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Agent Carter. Agent Peggy Carter, of course, from Captain America. And that should be fun. Little historic look, if you will, at the agency known as S.H.I.E.L.D. Don't forget, put it on your Christmas list as a last-minute gift. Guardians of the Galaxy is out right now. Blu-ray, DVD, probably digital download as well. So you can check that out. Fantastic movie. Just a lot of fun is that movie. And looking forward to watching that. Hopefully I get it as a Christmas gift. I don't know. But I look forward to watching that one here in the next few weeks. And that's... I've managed to talk longer than I thought I had content to share. So I am sitting here with my dog, Lucky. Lucky, any words? Any words of wisdom for the good folks listening? Okay. Lucky is, for a change, being quiet. Oh, now you got something? Now you got words? You can say. What do you got? Nope, mildly entertained by sounds outside the door. So that is it, episode 31, Nerds United. Once again, check out all the great other shows that we have on the network. And I have told Kevin, the host of My 1-2-3 Cents, that I'm going to try to have these other shows up on iTunes with their own individual feeds by Christmas. So that gives me 2 weeks to bust my hump and get to work. I make no guarantees, but since I've put that time frame, that deadline out there, I guess I kind of got to hold on to it. So we'll do the very best we can. In the meantime, we appreciate your support. Yeah, however, whatever means that you're listening to the show. And in the meantime and in between time, we'll check you later. Nerds United, we'll see you on down the road.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.